You were serving as an astronaut support crew, right?
Right.
I believe for Apollo 7, 11, and 14.
Correct.
And when you're in the role of support crew, you're just as engaged as those who are going on the flight.
No, not quite. You don't have any hope of going on the flight. You have the prime crew, you have the backup crew, and then you have the support crew. Primarily, you're just supporting them. You go to meetings for them. You participate in spacecraft tests. But you have absolutely no hope of flying on that mission. But that was fine. I enjoyed the work on the support crew. And I was actually put on a backup crew for 16 with the thought that we would fly Apollo 19. Jerry Carr, Ed Gibson, and I. 18, 19, and 20 were canceled.
So that had to be really disappointing.
Yeah, really was.
Your training started in Houston for all this. And there was helicopter training?
Yeah, we went through the Navy school there at Pensacola.
And why helicopter training when you're going out in space?
Well, it's a good way to get the exposure to the type of flying that you're going to do in the lunar module. That was why we got the helicopter training, is because it's very similar. All the physical cues and all that are much the same. We all enjoy flying the choppers.
There was other training, water survival, tropical survival.
Tropical survival. Those were all good schools.
Now, you were around for the Apollo 7 launch?
Yes.
And Wally Schirra and Walt Cunningham. You got to know them?
Yes.
Wally Schirra, what was he like?
He was a free spirit. He's really very comical. He's always pulling a joke on you. He was what you call a gotcha. The time that I thought I had gotten him, it turned out that he had really pulled a sneaky one on me. This was right before the launch of Apollo 7. We finished all the training, and everybody was kicked back and relaxed. And Wally said, "Bill, I've got a tennis court reserved in Melbourne. Let's go and have a game of tennis." And I said, "Oh, Wally, I haven't played tennis since college." He says, "Oh, I tell you, it's a good day." It was a fall day. And he said, "You'll enjoy it." I said, "Okay." So Wally drove, and I just sat there, and we got to Melbourne and got rackets. So Wally started serving. And he started serving bullets. I said, "Gosh," he just kept serving. After about 10 minutes, it suddenly dawned on me that he got me again. He did not want to play tennis. He wanted to practice his serve. And he needed somebody to return the balls, and I was it.
Maybe we got ahead of ourselves earlier. You were assigned to Apollo 11. One of those working with you on Apollo 11 was Buzz Aldrin.
Yes.
And what about him? What kind of a person was he?
Well, he was brilliant, really. The only problem I had was he would be thinking about a problem, but he would still be talking to you. It was very confusing. He was a brilliant guy.
What did Buzz Aldrin mean to the space program? What had he done?
He had flown in Gemini. It was very similar to Mercury. They were just getting experience with spaceflight. That's what it was.
Right.
And getting experience and keeping the things working.
Which led to the first man on the moon and Neil Armstrong.
Right.
And you were with him as well.
Yes.
Knew him.
Yes.
Talk to us about him a little bit, his personality.
He's quiet. He's smart. Really, really competent. We shared a back fence near the Space Center. Our houses backed up to each other. He is very interesting to work with. We would go home every weekend. I would usually drive my Beetle.
Your Volkswagen.
Yes, and leave it at Ellington when we flew down to the Cape. And then I'd take him home, and he was under a lot of pressure.
What kind of pressure?
The pressure of the importance of the mission.
You're talking about before he had actually landed on the moon.
That's right.
The lead up to it.
Correct. We would be flying along, and he said, "Do you know what the zodiacal light is?" And I said, "Haven't the foggiest idea." He says, "I'll show you." So he did. He talked me through it and showed me the zodiacal light. That took about a half an hour just to go through that. But it was about an hour and a half flight from Florida back to Texas.
What is a zodiacal light?
It is a light. You can see it right after sunset. The sun is still bright below the horizon, but the light from the sun is going past the Earth, and there's dust here and there, and the dust captures the light. When you can see that, that's called zodiacal light.
You were around him right up to the day that he performed a landing on the moon. He felt tremendous pressure, as you talked about.
Yeah, he did.
Where were you the day he landed on the moon?
I was at Mission Control.
And you experienced the elation then in Mission Control?
Yes.
When that was all happening?
Yes. And then I went home to watch the EVAs, the spacewalk.
Did you talk to him personally after this about his experience being on the moon?
No, I did not. They sent him to NASA headquarters. As soon as they got through the debriefing, maybe a couple of months or something like that. And he was made to feel like a trained ape. The only time I really had much to do with him, I had put a package together using Apollo photographs, and he wanted to use it, Earth Resources type stuff. I sent him the whole package. He used it, and then he called me up and thanked me. I won't say he was distant, but he knew that he occupied a historical position in the space program.
As a public, we never saw him come out and be a personality, so that matches what you're saying about him. When you were with him prior to the moon launch, was it real obvious, wow, I understand why they selected him for this?
Yes, he had it.
Yeah.
The right stuff.
Yeah, right.